You're listening to Mind Over Markets, a podcast on trading psychology to help you build a bulletproof mindset. Here's your hosts, George Papazov and Mark Borscht.
Hello, trade pros, and welcome back to another episode of Mind Over Markets with your hosts, George Papazov and
Mark Borscht
from Trade Pro Academy. Mark is still here. We did a little bit of a flip on you guys just to keep you guessing and on your toes and expecting the unexpected. And I did the intro. And in today's episode, we're going to be discussing why boring is actually good when it comes time to trading. Now, this statement might be a bit off-putting, especially for traders just beginning their journey. And you might be wondering, how can trading not be exciting when you can be making more money than you've ever dreamed of? While you certainly can make great money in this industry, the reality is that if you're in this business for excitement, you'll eventually blow out your entire account. And for some, that might actually be an exciting process. Real trading is all about earning risk-adjusted returns, which is dull, unexcited, and boring. The real fun part is getting to spend gains and your time however you like. That's freedom, and at the end of the day, that's the greatest goal of what we do. But you have to be willing to take the boring, systematic approach to your trading goals, and we'll explain exactly how to do that in today's episode.
Exactly, we will. Now, before we get into that, one of the things that we do here at Trade Pro Academy is we help our members really set proper expectations from the get-go. And our whole process at Trade Pro Academy is process-oriented. All right. And so what that means is that if you're part of the community, if you're part of our trading group, your focus is not going to be on making overnight riches. It's not going to be on who's got the best trades. The focus is going to be who's following the process. And one of the benefits of joining Trade Pro Academy is that in our community, our traders are active. They're very active in keeping each other accountable. In fact, we've got accountability groups, whether you trade options, stocks, or futures. And our traders love to jump in there, love to take advantage of these accountability groups. And they make huge strides by being transparent with their own trading experiences and really sharing their struggles and successes with each other. I can't tell you how much value this can provide to yourself or even somebody that's more experienced along their journey. So join us at tradeproacademy.com. And let's continue on with the show.
Awesome, Marky. So I just want to ask you before we get into the notes, are you at the point where it's still boring for you? Or how do you feel in terms of boredom and trading? And how do you avoid filling the void of boredom and going into trades just for excitement?
It is boring, to be quite honest. It is boring because it's at a point where it's almost, I don't have to think. It's almost like thoughtless. You're just kind of like free. You're like water almost. You're just kind of going with the flow. And, you know, at this point, it's really the only time it's exciting is basically, you know, at the end of the day when I'm reviewing the trades and seeing whether I followed my process or not. Majority of the time, I'm just kind of sat there waiting for the market to get into my zones, waiting for the next best trade to play out. That's pretty much it. Really, the only time when there is like excitement or frustration or anything like that, it's when I'm not really following what I'm supposed to be doing. You know, so for me, excitement or emotion is a sign I'm doing something wrong. And that's kind of where I'm at.
That's neat. You know, I'm kind of right there with you. If I do a scan in my trading desk from home, because I have a home office now with COVID from left to right, like, I just realized as I was reading the intro and you were doing the nice message about a community, I looked around and I'm like, man, I've really optimized this because it's so boring. I have LED lights with different flicking colors. I've got like a fragrance vaporizer. What is it called?
Diffuser.
The diffuser. I got a stream deck. There's a book here on my desk. I have a fidget spinner, two water bottles, a mug, and a can of dip. So it's like, I really optimize myself to deal with that boredom. And I think it's important to realize that, you know, trading will be boring, but you don't have to make your trading exciting. You can do other aspects of your life to make those exciting instead and keep your trading boring and consistent. Because there's nothing like not having a good trade setup and you know it's going to have to move 20 points for you to get a really good quality trade.
Yep.
And you know you're going to have those stretches of boredom. And so it should be boring. So let's talk about it a little bit more.
Exactly. It should be boring. And, you know, just kind of speaking on, you know, your little setup too, one of the things I like to do is actually optimize, you know, the chart books that we're in. So I'm a huge OCD. Yeah, I'm a huge OCD freak. And if there's something that I'm doing while waiting for a setup to occur, I'll try to be optimizing my, you know, my setup. So not set up as far as the criteria I'm looking for to trade, but as far as my actual template on my software platform, you know, cleaning things up, making things nice and, you know, nice and clean, how I like to see them. If I'm seeing too much of something, I'll make that change. But for a majority of the time, that's basically, you know, while waiting for the setup to occur, it's either, you know, talking to you guys in the trading room live. That actually does a lot in keeping me on pace as well, because I often find my own experience when I'm on the mic and I'm sharing my ideas and commentary, you know, that's another way that I get to be a little bit more accountable in actually following the plan that I've kind of set out for myself.
I love it, man. I used to do that too. I used to, when things were slow, that'd be the time I try out new tools, new approaches, you know, maybe like go read up on some stuff, analyst reports. You know, they just stay on top of the industry. But nowadays that I screen share everything I do, you know, it's like, I don't want to test stuff as I'm showing stuff, because it's going to generate questions. And then when the trade's ready, I'm answering questions. So I love that approach. I think for the listener, that's one way to cope with boredom. Not that we shouldn't jump straight to the solution. Let's talk about the problem a little bit more. Marky, you want to take it from the...
Yeah, let's roll. Let's roll.
Let's do this. Just cool pre-chat.
Let's do this. Yeah, exactly. We're trying out some different stuff, some new formats here on the podcast, and let's see if it works. So, going on with this episode here, what is the experience for new traders? All right, a lot of new traders, you know, I can relate back to my own journey when I started. You start off in this industry with a lot of excitement. Right? It's almost unconscious excitement, in the sense that at the beginning stage of your journey, you're not really so concerned with, you know, the realities of the industry, because you're kind of infatuated with the opportunities or the potentials, if you will, of setting big goals, wanting to achieve that limitless potential that you can in the financial markets. And the reality is, you know, after you spend a little bit of time actually involved in the markets, you kind of get hit with the cold reality, which is that it's not as easy as it may seem, and that there's going to be work involved. Right. And so you kind of get to a stage as a new trader where you have to make a very important decision. All right. And that decision is, there's one of two decisions you're going to make. The reality is that most people make the decision of a, you know, gambling trader. All right. And the reason I say that is because they look to stay in the industry to seek excitement, really seek excitement from the markets, whether that's, you know, I have to be in front of the markets at all time, I have to be in trades to, you know, to do what I want to achieve. That comes along with really a losing mindset. And so you get to this point as a new trader where you're thinking that I got to achieve some big goals, and I either want to seek out the excitement, you know, look for those large gains, I want to retire by tomorrow. You know, you see everybody on social media sharing those big gains, and that's what you want to do, right? Whereas you have another option, right? The other option is to become somebody that actually realizes there's more to it than just taking trades, right? Like, I've got to be able to manage my risk. I've got to be able to manage myself, more importantly. And it's ultimately the person that realizes that there is more to it than just clicking the button and hoping for the best that is required in order to find success and consistency in this industry, right? And so the gambling trader, or the person that looks to find excitement from the markets, they might believe they have a trading system, right? But it's often the case that they're going to be jumping around, trying different things, and often breaking their rules, right? And lack of risk management for these traders is really quite common. You know, another thing that the person that looks for excitement from the markets, they're going to continue to hope You know, it's, I call it hopium. All right. It's a drug in and of itself. You get hopium that you're going to get lucky and eventually stumble upon something that is just going to, it's just going to work for you. All right. Mm-hmm. It's going to be your, you know, your personal ATM, if you will. And so that's kind of the reality that majority of the people go down. And, you know, if you take a look across statistics on a majority of the broker websites, you know, a lot of them have to disclose what the percentage profitability of their actual clients is. And so you'd be surprised to find out oftentimes, you know, the higher end of the range is 90% are, you know, losing money. You know, these days you can say probably 70 to 75% is a good average of clients that are losing money. So it's no real surprise that people are really trying to find excitement from these markets, chasing after those big gains, chasing after, you know, those huge oversized returns, as opposed to looking for those singles, looking for those doubles. You know, it's a lot sexier getting a grand slam trade than it is hitting a single, hitting a double and doing that consistently. Right. And so even when I speak to my friends, even when I speak to, you know, friends of friends, people in my network, that, you know, oftentimes whenever they ask me about the market, it's always with regards to, you know, the stocks that are making crazy gains. You know, it was Tesla back in 2019, GME this year. You know, anytime there's a big mover on some stock, it's, hey, did you capture any of that? I always tell them, no, I'm not even looking at that. That's not really what I'm focusing my attention on. Right. And so that's kind of the choice that has to be made. And the reality is more people choose the path of excitement as opposed to the path of, you know, discipline, risk management. And so, you know, kind of as we mentioned at the beginning of this episode, you know, a trader's job is to make risk adjusted returns.
Well, it's interesting though, right? Because most people, like my 9-to-5 job, everyone that I worked in, every position was boring, right? Even though I was on the trading desk, it still, it got to the point that it was boring. But what is it about then switching to trading? Like, I guess it's people wanting a different result than what they have and thinking they have to do different actions, right? But if you think about anything that's systemized or anything that will work over the long haul consistently, everything, it should be boring, like surgeries, you know, everything, cars, the way they operate, engineering, electronics, everything that's exciting to use operates on a boring principle. And, you know, this is like the Elon Musk company, the Boring Co. I wish that I wish that we started that one and trademarked it and patented it. But, you know, I think boredom is, look, in today's world, we had this discussion before. I think that we're conditioned, Marky, to expect more quicker, like massive convenience with quickness. Also, we don't, like, there's no more patience. Like, patience doesn't pay in today's world. We're so used to get everything so fast that we expect trading to work the same way. And when we go on social media and see all these people who share results of how well they've done, you know, when we see that result, we don't know what their journey's been, right? Like, there's some amazing traders that post results that undoubtedly earn those results. But do they really help people? You know, how does it really help somebody other than, sure, it inspires you to start trading? And so, you know, you got to understand that the number that somebody makes, you could look at it and you could say, wow, I'm going to do that tomorrow. But the thing is, the bigger the number, the longer their journey most likely is, and the more boring their process is. And I think this is a really big realization to have, because we're going to help you in this podcast make your trading more boring.
Exactly. And what you just said there kind of made me reflect. And there was, I don't remember what the exact quote was, but I remember when I was starting off, I remember seeing this one guy, and he was posting big gains, obviously, you know, 4 or 5 figure days. And I was wondering, you know, one of the things that he responded to on a comment was that I'm an overnight success, 10 years in the making. Yeah. And that there to me kind of put me on a different path. Because, you know, you kind of see, just like Georgie mentioned, the people posting those big gains, you don't, it's the tip of the iceberg, right? You don't really know the rest of the body of that iceberg, you know, the body of work this person had to go through in order to start achieving these kinds of results. So it goes back to boring, right? Overnight success, 10 years in the making. It's not even relatable to trading specifically. You can look at this across, you know, the spectrum of business, or even of commerce. Look at Amazon, right? Look at businesses like that. right? Everything starts with a big goal, but with small steps, right? And it's being able to accept the fact that, you know, the boring is what's going to get you there. It's not going to happen overnight. Sure, you know, for some, you know, the lucky unicorns out there, maybe it might work out for them, but for the majority of, you know, majority of the population, it's going to be a slow process. And, you know, you got to expect that, to be honest. You really got to expect boredom. And you know, there's another thing that I was kind of thinking about when we were talking about what you do when you're bored during the markets, right? One of the things I like to do is I like to focus on the fact that the market doesn't have to give me an opportunity, right? One of the biggest changes in my mindset was approaching the market from a perspective of, let's see what it gives me today, not there has to be opportunity today. And, you know, that really slowed things down, right? Because there's no more expectations that I'm going to have to find something, you know, the market's going to move. Sure, it might move, but I'm not here, you know, looking to catch 100 points. I'm just looking to see if the market's going to give us anything. And coming in with that kind of a mindset has been a big help for me because I'm no longer biased about anything. Sure, there are some, you know, biases if certain levels get broken, but that is because it's a process, right? It's not because of my personal opinion that, you know, the market should move or should do this or should do that.
That's awesome, Marky. I'm glad you shared that because I have a relatable story as well to this. Remember when I first left my job to trade, you know, it was a scary time because it's a decent job. It was six figures with bonus in and everything, and it was great. It was doing well for a person my age. And then, you know, to go to trading, then you start focusing on the result. And I think what happened is, and what happens to a lot of traders in their journey is that they think the job is being in a trade. Where this is incorrect, the job is actually in front of the computer waiting for a trade. You're going to spend more time waiting than you are going to be being in them. And so I think if you have the expectation that you're only a trader if you're in a trade, you're going to do extremely bad. And to be honest with you, this is where I disagree with a lot of these statement postings on Twitter because, you know, you see guys, and I'm not going to call anyone out, but I saw statements the other day of some guy on Twitter that posted like 300K a day. He's like, I'm doing good. You know, it's the most I've ever made. But guess what? That's peanuts. There's somebody out there that makes 6 mil a day. And so that guy is nothing. He's a bug in the windshield of the bigger institutions. And those institutions are nothing to somebody else. And so you get onto this kind of trajectory where you're not trading to do what you're capable of doing. You're trading it becomes a pissing contest. No, you know, like,
I've got a different word for that, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's the one I was going to resort to, but I'm like, it's a family show. So this is as vile I'm going to get. But, you know, when you're looking at all these people, these big gains and all these things, it starts making you focus on what? Profit.
Yeah.
Right. And to get profit, now your expectations becomes you have to be in a trade. And there's correlation statistically that more you trade, the more you're going to lose. And it's not, we've been trained in life that the more that we work, the better results we create. But trading is one of those professions where it's selective opportunity. The job isn't being in a trade. The job is being patient, waiting for the trade. That's kind of the home base, if you will. Being in a trade, great if you find it, but you don't have to find one. There's been days where we've watched the market the whole day and no opportunities presented itself. They're not often, but you know, there's days Marky and I both in the room like, did you get one? I'm like, nah, did you? No. It's rare that I don't get one, but there are days where I don't, right? And my win rate is probably lower because I take opportunities a little bit more aggressive. So they come with bigger risk. So all I'm saying is remove the connection to being in a trade as being the job and reset your expectations to be that if you're in front of the computer, if you're waiting, and if you're not getting in positions because you're not finding the right setup according to your strategy, you're a trader. You're actually a professional trader. The most professional traders have the least setups. You'd be surprised how little trades they take and how calculated and methodical they are. So don't convince yourself to get into positions. Convince yourself to stay out of positions until one reaches out of the screen and slaps you. That change in your psychology will be massive, especially at the beginning.
Yeah, exactly. There are two things I wanted to touch on that you mentioned here. First was, you know, the person posting the gains, you know, 300K a day. That's great. You know, I wish them all the best. But the question is, how much did you risk You know, they might have been down, you know, 600K to a million in order to achieve that 300, right? And this this kind of goes on to, you know, the point that I wanted to mention here is just kind of reflecting back on the intro. You know, a trader's job is risk-adjusted returns. And so if you're, you know, if you're risking a $600,000 drawdown to return $300,000 plus, I'm not saying this is the case for the person in question, but risk adjusted means you're risking less and making more, right? And if we're going to give you a dictionary kind of breakdown, we got you, don't worry. Risk adjusted return measures the profit your investment has made relative to the amount of risk the investment has represented throughout a given period in time. Right, a super important concept, because many new traders believe that final P&L is really the only important measurement of success as a trader. And going to Georgie's point, a lot of them often strive to achieve these outsized returns without focusing on risk management, because it's a pissing contest, right? I want to achieve what you know, Joe and what Will are doing over there on social media. And the other thing that I kind of wanted to bring up, you know, going back to what you mentioned, was, you know, in my own experience, from my own trading experience, I can honestly say that the days where I've had the most trades and made profit are basically net neutral to maybe slightly less than the days where I've had less trades, been more selective with them, and, you know, got equal or greater returns. So at the end of the day, you know, you kind of got to ask yourself, and you'll get to this point at some, you know, some point in your journey where you take a whole bunch of trades, you make profit on it, but then, you know, maybe the next day or the next week comes, you take maybe two or three trades on that session versus, you know, 13 to 15 trades, you make as much or even more. And then you kind of question yourself, you're like, should I really be taking this many trades, or should I just wait for the right trades where I can size up on? And I think that's a super important kind of mindset flip for people, because, you know, what Georgie said there is perfect. Some days there's not going to be trades, you know, there's not going to be tradable opportunities. Are you still a trader if you didn't put a trade on a certain day? Yeah, you are. In fact, you're more so a trader than the person that, you know, went out there and shot all their bullets, blown their account, sat there without any margin left or any mental capital left. And, you know, they're looking to go back to the 9-to-5. So to that point, yeah, boring is good and being selective is even better.
Love it, Marky. Those are all great points. And, you know, and you're starting to realize in this discussion that what the expectation is of what you thought you had to do to get those results is actually different from reality. Because if you have a 300K gain, this is the way I do the math with risk-adjusted returns. Whatever your favorite trader on Twitter or the gram is posting, whatever their biggest number is, they should be prepared to lose that amount in a day as well. So your TP, to your take profit to stop for the day, should be roughly 1-to-1 on the max. And depending on how good you are and how comfortable you are with your strategy, et cetera, experience. And so if you're going to be down 300K, obviously the person with a $1,000 account is dreaming of a $300,000 day. But to be able to make or generate 300K days, you have to have 6 mil in capital in the market. That's roughly 5% drawdown on the day. In fact, this is something I give credit to Mark for, that he taught me to implement. I've had some disastrous days, part of them due to like a breakdown discipline. The other part of them is just technology failures. And he said, hey, do you know you can call your broker and limit your loss? So I have a cap on it at 10%. So once I lose 10% of the account on any given day, they restrict further trading and they even close out the open position that gets you above 10%. So I think that's neat. That's one way to really manage that downside. But let's talk about making trading boring. I digressed a little bit, but it was fun.
So how to make trading boring, all right?
How, just, Marky?
How? Just do it. Just do it, right? What you got to do, you know, just going back to what we mentioned, you know, risk-adjusted returns. How do you make risk-adjusted returns? How do you do that? First and foremost, the easiest way to make risk-adjusted returns is to find low-risk, high-probability trades that offer a favorable risk-to-reward profile and just execute on those setups. But how do you get to that point? Right? How do you do that? If your experience in trading is that there's excitement, all right, there is frustration, there is, you know, exuberance even, even infatuation at some points, you are likely doing things wrong, right? Trading should be boring. One thing I kind of want to clear up here before we go into how to make trading boring, it's the act of trading should be boring. All right. It's not to say that you're losing your passion for trading is what makes you a profitable trader. Those things are completely separate. You know, I have a undying passion for trading. You know, as soon as I learned how to do it, you know, it was like that switch for me. Like, this is what I know I'm going to be doing for the rest of my life, because, you know, I'm relatively introverted, you know, with a little splurge of extroversion, right? But more likely I am more introvert than I am extrovert. And so from my perspective, the way that I saw trading when I initially started was that it's relatively low capital requirement to get in, you know, cost of operating business, relatively light. I don't have to employ anybody. I don't have to deal with anybody. All I have to deal with is myself. Like, perfect thing for an introvert. Right? Perfect True. Place to be for an introvert. The reality, though, a little bit different, right? Because you need to have, as much as it is something introverts can excel in, you need to have somebody to talk to. You need to have a community, right? And you need to be disciplined. And so that's kind of what initially drew me into it, right? But the community aspect of it and really finding people that have a like-minded mindset is something that's super important to get your success. All right. And so I realize it's going to be a journey for me, and I've got no problem. I'm either going to figure it out, or I mean, there's no real plan B, right? It's I'm figuring this out. And what you'll often find is that money in the markets is attracted to those that can control themselves and remain disciplined. And that money comes from the people that can't do that, that can't remain disciplined, that can't control themselves, right? So it sounds pretty straightforward. You know, trading's pretty straightforward. Buy low, sell high, buy back lower, right? But why is it so difficult for people to actually reach consistency, right? It's because trading requires a lot of waiting around. If you're not prepared to wait around, probably not the best industry to get into, especially when money is involved. Because when money is involved, you got to be a lot more patient. And so to learn to work on your patience, now we can start discussing how to make trading boring. All right. On the topic of those risk-adjusted returns, you're going to need to have a setup. All right. Before you know what you're looking for, you have to identify what it is that's an edge for you. Right. So first and foremost, how to make trading boring. We've mentioned this across a majority of our episodes. Trading strategy. All right.
Yeah.
Really should not come as much of a surprise here. Finding a trading strategy, you know, trading strategy is one thing, but you got to find something that resonates with you. Once you find something that resonates with you, you put in that work. All right. What you want to do is you got to know exactly what you are looking for and what you consider to be a low risk, high probability trading opportunity. You get to a point where you see these setups occur so often that trading is literally, it just becomes a game of pattern recognition. If the pattern is there that you're looking for, your criteria are met, great. You have a low risk, high probability trade. If it's not there, there's nothing to be done, right? And this is kind of what I referred to when I said trading's almost like there's no real thought behind it, right? It's either it's doing it or it's not doing it. The market's doing what I want to see or it's not doing what I want to see. And I don't have to think about it. If it's doing what I want to see, there's a trading opportunity. If it's not doing what I want to see, there's no opportunity. The issue for people is putting on those trades when it's not doing what they want it to do, just because they want to have a position or they feel the need to be in a trade, right?
Yeah. And you know, I'm with you, Marky. Like, and to the flip side of that, is sorry, just ended abruptly. I was like,
yeah, you're just like bobbing.
Yeah, and then you stopped. I was like, I was going with it. The flip side to that too is, you know, if you don't have a strategy, you won't be patient, because if you don't know what you're waiting for, you won't wait, right? This is what the strategy is important. It's like, what are you really waiting for? What are you waiting to happen? What would need to happen such that you put your hard-earned money into the market? And if you can't answer that, then you're not going to be patient. If you're not going to be patient, your trading is not going to be boring. It's going to be a roller coaster. And so strategy is really where things start. And we're not just talking about a strategy like when it hits the MACD, buy it. Sure, that's a strategy, but a strategy with an edge that you've tested, that you've learned somewhere, that you've been able to apply, that you've sim traded, live traded small size and are now going bigger with it. We teach all that. You know, our edge is order flow. Order flow is enough to get an edge on your positions. Imagine seeing every single contract one at a time flowing through the market. If that doesn't give you an edge, like my good friend Anthony Drager says, go be a plumber.
Yeah, I mean, today was a great example of that, right? Right mm-hmm. off of the open, there was a huge ask trade hit the ask right at the open, and market rallied off from there. And what was the open today? Like 03s, 05s, quarters or something like that?
Something around there, yeah. I have it open. I could check, but yeah. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, so it traded off of those 05s all the quarter. Way. The 5 quarter, there you go. 5 quarters, I think it went up to 44s last time I checked before pulling back, right? So, I mean, you're not going to catch the whole move from the 05s to the 44s. I mean, that's a nice trade, but, you know, if you know what you're looking for, you can take a chunk of that movement, right? You don't have to catch the whole thing. You just need to catch a portion of it. And that's exactly what knowing what to look for gives you the position to do, right? There was one thing I completely missed, which I was really excited about saying. How to make trading boring. The simple answer, follow a consistent routine.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So that number one starts with having a strategy in place, knowing exactly what you're looking for, and knowing what constitutes a solid, low risk, high probability trade. Right? You don't want to be swinging your bat at every single idea that you get. Georgie says, you know, one of the things that I personally love to do is I try to actively disqualify a trade. And if I can't disqualify the trade, hey, guess what? It's probably a trade I should be taking.
Yeah. It's like starting with the opposite end in mind, right? Like, give me a reason to get out of this. And if you can't find a reason to get out of it, then get into it, right? And I like that. It's a good approach. Exactly. You know, that what you mentioned, Mark, that 5 quarter open, I remember seeing you actually said, hey, check your time in sales. There's 860 lots that bought it at 5 quarter. Remember that? Yeah. And that was at like 9 a.m.
Yeah, it dropped off of my – I changed that setting. So I was like, hey, I could have sworn I saw one for 800 contracts at that level. Can you confirm it? He's like, yep. And then caught some nice upside on the back of that. And you know,
and I bought it from that because, look, if there's 860 lots long at 5 quarter, if I get stopped out on 6 contracts, 10 contracts, whatever I'm trading, yeah, it ain't nothing compared to 861. And when you see a number like 861 contracts that bought a market at a certain level, all right, you can't assume that this is one of the biggest mistakes traders make. They look at the market and what's traded already, and they assume it's complete. But the auction never finishes. There's always more. If somebody bought 861, I'm willing to bet you know, I don't know because I don't have the order, but I'm willing to bet you the majority of those situations, it's unfinished business. There's still more inventory that's waiting to fill because if you bought 861 at the 5 quarter, if it comes back down to it, you're going to probably buy another 400, another 500. It's a big position trying to get through the market. You and I trade fills on when we want to get in, we usually get in all of it. Right, but the institutional trader who's trading 2,000 S&P 500 contracts isn't getting filled at one level. Therefore, when you see a level like 860, you know that level is in play, and you keep working that level till we break below it. So, to me, Mark, when you said that today, you know that's the edge. The edge is I know there's a ton of buyers at that level. When it comes down, they're gonna reload the auction. They're gonna try to add some more quantity to their position, and I'm gonna get on board and go for the ride, right? Surf the wave. So that's as simple as that. That could be your edge, but you got to experience it and be confident about it before you call it your edge.
Exactly. And you know, the next point over how to keep trading boring or how to make trading and keep it boring is literally take the same trades over and over again. You know, if you were to look in my trading journal, outside of the days where I'm taking trades I'm not doing, you know, I'd say 95% of the trades in my trade journal look almost identical. I mean, granted, we're seeing order flow, so the order flow numbers are a little bit different for sure. But the actual, you know, the concept of the trade idea, that how it looks in essence, it's all the same. I'm literally just, it's pattern recognition. I understand what I'm looking for and just executing when that's there. And so, you know, I mentioned here earlier, follow a consistent routine. It's not, We're not doing anything. We're not reinventing no wheel here. We're literally doing the same thing over and over and over again. And this is what we mean by trading should be boring, because if you're doing the same things over and over again, guess what? That's consistency, right? So take the same trades again and again. What you want to do now that you have that strategy, you're confident doing the strategy, what's that daily process, right? Sit down pre-market in front of your trading screen, map out your levels, identify what your plan is, where are your next best trades for when the market opens up, all right? Because you want to have an objective view, right? Sure, things can change in real time. That's why we use order flow. But if you have your levels mapped though, if you know exactly what you're looking for, once the market opens up, all right, you're only looking for the price or the market to come into those levels and to meet your trading criteria. It's not a trade because the market gets into your level, all right? That's another little misconception is I spent so much time waiting for the market to get in the level. As soon as it gets there, I put on a trade and it just blasts right through. Right, there's more to it than just putting a level, you know, just waiting for it to get there. You've got to get your criteria confirmed as well, right? So only when the trade meets all of your criteria, not some of the criteria, all of your criteria, do you take the trade. And one of the things Georgie mentions, you know, often in the trading room, he also mentioned this to me when I started futures, when I started trading futures, is to think like a thousand lot trader. All right, think like a thousand lot trader, not a two lot trader, right? If you are considering taking on a trade, really think to yourself, if I was a hedge fund trader with $1 million of capital at play, which is a relatively small amount, but if I had that much at play, would I still be taking this trade? You know, are my criteria met so that even if I had investors or if I was trading other people's money, can I explain to them why I took this trade? And really, if the answer in real time is no, probably not a trade you should be taking, right? So always think like a large trader, and you're going to find that a lot of those little noisy trades that you take, which you know you shouldn't be taking, but you still do it, you're going to be able to kind of disqualify those on the spot by thinking like a large lot trader.
Love it, man. 100%. You know, if you're going to trade against big size traders, if you flip your psychology to act like your one lot is 1,000, you're trading with them. And that's a very important psychology flip that'll give you an extra edge in your approach.
Exactly. Exactly. So the next step really in keeping trading boring is to control the risk instead of looking for those huge gains, right? It comes with no surprise that a majority of people that are entering the trading industry, you know, you're trading relatively smaller account sizes, you know, $1,000, you know, even to 10K. I guess 10K would be on the higher end of initial capital funding, starting capital amounts. Nonetheless, all right, recall what we mentioned in the intro. A profitable trader's main job is risk-adjusted returns. In order to do this, you're going to have to keep disciplined. You're going to have to follow risk management and money management. And you're not going to look for those massive home run trades. You're just looking for singles and doubles. And, you know, if you listen to the last episode we did, episode 70, on how to run your profits like a professional trader, yes, at some point you can look to use runners to potentially catch a grand slam trade. But for the majority of, you know, your career, you're going to be taking singles, doubles, you know, even triples. And the odd one's going to be a grand slam. If you're focused on hitting a grand slam every time you're executing a trade, you're going to find a very hard reality staring at you, you know, and potentially a drained brokerage account, right? You got to understand that one single trade is not really much in the case of a larger set of trades, right? So the focus really should not be on hitting huge winners. It's keeping things consistent, keeping things small, really following your process and knowing exactly how much you're going to be risking anytime you take a trade and understanding the risk reward profile of certain setups.
Love it, man. You know, that's the end of the day. Like that, I'm actually speechless. I'd always say I love that, Mark, and then continue to say some stuff.
Wow, wow, wow.
Wowie, wowie. You crushed that one, yeah.
Wowie, wowie. All right, let's keep this rule going then. Let's keep this rule going. All right, and really the fourth and kind of, I don't want to call it a final step, but this can be a continuing step, right? The fourth step here is honestly just post-trade reviews, right? The best way to keep trading boring is to make sure that you're doing the same thing at the end of the day, right? If you look at your journal, all right, and you find, at the end of the day, at the end of the session, you should be reviewing your journal, all right? You should be reviewing your trades. And once you get to a level like George's, I'm not quite there yet. But once you get to a level like George's, you don't really need to be doing that because you've been doing it for so long, right? Where really the only time you should be doing it is when things go wrong, like disastrously wrong. George can kind of speak on that once I kind of shut up here. But for the majority of us, you should be journaling your trades after the end of the session, even in real time, all right? And grading yourself on how well or how poorly you followed your own process. And if you find that your results, the results at the end of the day don't really matter. All that matters is, did you follow your process? Yes or no? And what can I do to make sure that I follow my process the next day and going forward? And as long as you do that and you apply that strategy, you really only execute on the trades that you've really set out as high probability, low risk trades. And as long as you control that risk, you're not throwing on massive size looking for home runs, you're keeping things consistent with the capital in your account, you're going to find that your experience is a lot different, right? The thing that we introduced at the beginning of this episode was that the fun part of trading is not the actual act of trading. The fun part of trading is being able to enjoy the money that you make and the time freedom that comes with it as a result of being a boring trader.
Love it, Marky. So for the post-trade review thing that you mentioned, you want me to expand on, I only don't do it because I've journaled for so long that I'm repeating days, right, in my performance. Like, once you journal for long enough, you're going to realize that you repeat certain types of days over and over, whether they're good or bad. And so the only times I journal, so I do still have a journal, but when I have an extremely bad day, and a bad day meaning one of those where I broke down, not technology, where, even after doing this for so long, I still have these days where I cave to the pressure of chasing something. Those days of let's say 10 of those type of days that I have, they don't happen often, but when I do have these bad days of 10 of them, 9 out of 10, for whatever reason, I decided to trade for money that day, not for process. And so if I could avoid those trades, that's the first way to do it. I don't want to have a bad day, so I start by trying to avoid those days. And I have a sticky here in my office that says process over profits. And it just kind of blares at me in my subconscious mind because I can see it. It's on my monitor. And so I don't journal unless I have a bad day. And then from that day, I could learn a lot. The other days, if they're decent, I do like on-the-fly learning. But if you haven't been trading successfully and consistently for 3 years plus, you should be journaling, especially at the beginning. Like, journaling is super important.
Exactly. This is a business, right? It's a business, and you can't really track what you're doing right and what you're doing wrong unless you're actually tracking it. Right?
Exactly.
So that's a big, big, big component of it, right? And so that's pretty much what we got for you guys today, to be honest. We got a nice shorter kind of episode here. Hopefully it's packed with just as much value in a little bit of a shorter time span, right? And really what I kind of want to leave you guys off with is this idea. One of the best indications or indicators of where you are in your journey to professional trading is how often your routine changes on a weekly basis.
Oh.
The more changes you make to that routine, the further you are from becoming a professional trader.
Amen, brother. That's beautiful. You're right. Amen. Don't change the process. Don't change yourself. You got to stick with something long enough that you see results, whether they're good or bad. That way you know what to change. By changing around what you do on a daily basis, you're really losing money because you're not even buying quality information with those losses. Right. Even when you lose money, you get something in return. There's no such thing as a loss. I think money is like energy. It's never lost, only transferred. So you transfer losing days into learning days only if you put yourself in a position to do that, So keep things consistent long enough until you get some results that you can make decisions off. And that'll be my piece. I enjoyed this episode. It was fun. Make your trading boring.
Make trading boring again.
Yeah, there you go. We should get hats and a website going.
Trademark that ASAP.
Make trading boring. It's like Mitiba. Mitba.
Mitba. It can be Ebit does, cousin.
Yeah.
that's a finance joke. All right, guys, that's it. Before we get off the rails here, we're going to wrap this thing up. Thank you guys so much for taking the time to listen. Hope you guys appreciate this new little format we're trying to take on here. You know, relatively shorter episodes, but still jam-packed with value. Trying to make it more of a discussion basis. And we'll see how you guys enjoy it. Please do let us know. If you guys do enjoy these, please comment in our on iTunes. Leave some ratings and reviews. And also, if you guys love these episodes, please make sure to share them with your friends, colleagues, anybody that might be interested in trading. You'll be doing them a big service. Until next time, Trade Pros, good luck and good trading. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Mind Over Market podcast. You can find us at tradeproacademy.com.